Hallo liebe Zuhörerinnen und Zuhörer, willkommen zu einer neuen Folge unseres Tech-Podcasts Industrie neu gedacht von Bosch Rexroth. Mein Name ist Robert Weber und wir starten in das Jahr 2026 mit einer besonderen Folge, denn wir sprechen über World Robotics Models und das nicht mit irgendwem, sondern mit einem der wenigen europäischen Forscher, die sich mit World Robotics Models beschäftigen. Wir gehen nach Amsterdam zu Professor Dr. Stratis Gaffes von der University of Amsterdam. Viel Spaß beim Zuhören. So, my guest today is Professor Stratis Gaffes from the University of Amsterdam. Welcome, Stratis.
Well, thank you very much for the invitation. It's a great pleasure to be with you.
We want to talk about world robotic models. We know models from Meta, from Google. They are all working on world robotics models. You and your team are also working on robotics model. What is your approach in Amsterdam?
So I am a strong believer that in physics and causality, physics informed and causality informed neural networks. And in a way, this is actually quite the opposite of what is the current trend, where scale is all you need and data is all you need, is the main narrative, you know, like that's how you train ever bigger LLMs and so forth. I think that we need better inductive biases, better knowledge in the system, and knowledge about physics and about causality. Especially about physics, I think it's crucially missing, not only because, you know, like physics is something that we know since the 1700s, like, and it hasn't changed. Why wouldn't we add it directly to our systems? I think that's going to save us a lot of like imitation and a lot of retraining. So it's also cheaper in terms of data and in terms of energy, but it's not just that. I think it's also a matter of trust and of trustworthiness.
Mm-hmm. Why? Can you explain it a bit?
Because things that do not, you know, like models that do not follow the physical laws are models that are absurd. Like, imagine if a model would suggest that an apple, instead of falling down because of gravity, would start floating. And once you start having these kind of models that are so obviously absurd, then you start doubting everything else that the model delivers. I mean, if it's like a good prediction, how do you know that the next one will still be good, or will still be relevant? I think hallucinations are pretty problematic with LLMs, but I cannot fathom how deeply disturbing hallucinations would be with physics. Imagine a robot that doesn't understand simple physical laws. So I think we actually need much more precise and explicit physical knowledge to our neural networks and to our systems. And we need it as soon as possible. We need that before like mass deployment in practice, in homes and in factories and so forth. Causality is also very interesting, let's say, like type of knowledge that we need into our robot learning systems. But it's, you know, like that's a whole new can of worms that needs to be like checked thoroughly and properly.
Why do the big ones go a different way than your, in contrast to your approach?
Well, in all directness, what they're doing now is in their business interest. It's their business model. They can definitely scale up GPUs and they can definitely scale up data. And at the end of the day, that is a strategy that has worked beautifully well until now with language. So, you know, when you have a winning horse, you keep betting on it. But I think like robotics and physical AI, embodied AI is a class of problems with very uniquely different types of challenges compared to language and natural language processing. So the same approach that works for chatbots is not going to be enough. And mind you, I'm not saying that we don't need data and we don't need skill. We definitely need it. I'm only saying that it's not sufficient. It's necessary, but not sufficient.
Mm-hmm. How do you incorporate now physics into the models? What is your approach?
Right now, what we're exploring is integrating two of the most exciting advances in robot learning, in my opinion, robot learning, computer graphics, and AI in general, which is Gaussian splatting. And
what is Gaussian splatting?
Gaussian splatting is a technique that was initially proposed for graphics reconstruction. So basically rendering a scene. So basically by taking a video of a scene, like moving around, and you put it into the Gaussian spotting algorithm, you could reconstruct a really photorealistic model of the 3D world very, very quickly and very, very efficiently. So you don't need like huge computational resources and so forth. This works really well. And we had the idea, what if we repurpose this for robot walls? And some of the, you know, like the method had to be a bit adapted. So we have to integrate knowledge about objects, about textures, about the geometry of things and so forth. It was not like, we managed. We integrated Gaussian spotting after this first step with explicit physics engines. And basically we had a perfect physics simulator, but now for the real world, where originally proposed for, you know, abstract worlds or generic worlds or perfect worlds, if you may. Now you can have physics simulator for your world, like the world before you, exactly my robot is seeing. And I think that's a very exciting opportunity. It really works very well. And I think actually there is a great interest, like more and more papers are actually following exactly this approach. So I think that's very nice.
So, but you have this Gaussian splitting and now you integrate, can you please share a bit more in detail how you integrate now the data in this approach and what is the outcome at the end?
So in our approach at the moment, we're basically, right now it's more of a system. We don't really have much of learning, to be honest. What makes things even more interesting, because imagine what else can you do? Not, you know, we can add data to the whole thing. So what the system, what the model does currently, it returns this, like what we call explicit world models. So world models are basically models that, like, well, models of the world, as the name says. And what does this mean? That this model takes as input what the world looks like at the moment. And it also adds, like, it receives as input possible action. So let's say I'm in my room, and if I grab the door handle and rotate it, then the door will open, right? So the world model tells you that what is going to happen given this action of turning the door handle. Most methods until now are what we call implicit world models. So it's a neural network that basically tries to reconstruct this world in standard neural network-y way. With our Gaussian splatting plus physics engine, we obtain explicit world models in the sense that we can explicitly now reason about the physics of the world. We don't expect that the neural network returns predictions in a black box type of way. Rather, everything in our explicit world model is explainable, is, you know, interpretable. The next step is to start adding data to the system. So for instance, we're working on now is also pairing this with vision language action models and pairing this with diffusion models and generative models. And by doing that, we can also not only try to reconstruct the current world, but generalize to any type of world and learn from data, learn from the interaction from this data.
So the modalities are vision data, simulation data, time series, or am I wrong?
No, you're absolutely right. Like right now the data is, well, basically we're using vision data. We're using like time series. So especially if you want to have policy learning, like reinforcement learning with a robot. We're using depth sensors. We're also exploring how to use language instructions, especially when you're, again, learning a policy. But for what it's worth, we're quite multimodal in like fundamentally. Like there is nothing that precludes us from using any type of a robot sensor and integrating to the system.
Do we will have multiple world models when it comes to robotics? Or is it only one unique model? What is your opinion?
Good question. I think we already have multiple world models. So maybe the question can also be rephrased to whether we're going to have one, you know, model that basically outperforms so much more everything else that it's going to be like the ChatGPT of world models. I think we do have some very strong, or at least some very popular like models that people know from NVIDIA, Cosmos, and so forth. In my opinion, we're not there yet. These models are pretty good when it comes to specific applications, especially those that they have been like trained with. But I think it remains to be seen whether they can generalize to out of distribution situations. For one, we've been testing their physical and causal capabilities with some of our works. And, you know, there is still room for improvement, let's put it like that. Now, our world model, the one that we have, the DREMA world model, I would say is also not the complete answer yet. Like the original publication doesn't have any data learning, although we're working on it now and, you know, it's very interesting, very promising results. I think in the end, we will have at least a few different variants. Like, I believe in the future, we'll have a system one and system two type of approach. We will have an implicit world model for system one, like for being, for giving the robot the capability to quickly decide and make decisions, like neural network based decisions on how to act. And we will also need a system two, like explicit world model, like something similar to what we propose, that can tell you more explicitly about the physics of the world, that can integrate more explicitly, can use more explicitly physical knowledge and causal knowledge. And this is going to be a bit like slow in quotes, like slow thinking.
So a world model means it could also have smaller models in between, or is it a substitute of smaller models, or what is the idea?
Yeah, for sure. For sure, it's going to be like, I mean, especially when it comes to edge computing and robots, for sure, you cannot have a one-size-fits-all situation, right? Like, even if you would have some really high-end robots that have very big memory, very, you know, very strong compute, you would have also many more devices that will be like, yeah, they wouldn't have like these big capabilities. But either way, I think like with robotics, you've got like all sorts of unique other challenges. Efficiency, data efficiency, memory efficiency, compute efficiency is key. Dynamicity is very important. I think it's very hard to judge at the moment whether we're going to have like one or many, but I think we're going to have many because the world is so rich and the problem is so complex that it's quite hard to expect that a single model will be able to solve all different situations simultaneously.
That sounds like I need a marketplace or for embeddings to solve all the different approaches in the field of robotics.
And yes, I think at least for the coming time, I would expect something like that to be, you know, needed. Like in practice, I mean, like I cannot imagine how else.
Mm-hmm. So you see, you will have lightweight models on the edge, on next to the robot, and then you have a bigger model in the back. Is this the architecture you suggest, or can you share once again, please?
Yes, I think for sure in the coming years, I expect to have robots will be working very well in terms of understanding perception and so forth, but like their planning, their communication, their interaction capabilities with the rest of the world, I think that's something that needs to be like better researched, especially because with robots, you have no room for failure. You cannot have a robot that does mistakes, in my opinion. And in that case, we will need lightweight models that will be working on simple devices and on smart devices, and also, you know, and maybe with sensors of the robots, you know, like maybe you will have a different world model per sensor. And then you would have a bigger model, like a system two type of model that guides the bigger planning and the bigger thinking, let's say, of the robot. And of course, how you communicate between these different models, the lightweight and the bigger ones, that is, you know, the name of the game, I think.
Okay. But do you have an idea how to communicate between these models?
Well, I have lots of ideas.
Okay. you don't want to share your ideas.
Well, I mean, I'm happy to share with interested parties. But yeah, no, I think like there's like lots of exciting prospects actually when it comes to like real world robotics. I think that's going to be the next revolution. And what is actually very interesting is that there is no clear winner. There is like so much room for improvement. I think like the first delivers a strong solution, a strong, maybe practical solution even is going to be, you know, like there is some land grabbing to be done here.
We will see the same story as we saw it with LLM. So there's one front runner, and then a lot of people will follow. And we have like Gemini, we have ChatGPT, we have Claude, we have Huan, we have some Chinese, we have open models. So we will see that also when it comes to world robotics models.
Great question. I think, I mean, it's inevitable that you will have many, many models. Again, the question is whether one will be so clearly better that, you know, wins everyone. I think it's going to be harder because with LLMs, I mean, everyone understands language, the chatbot works, whatever, like in your phone and your laptop, everyone can judge whether that works or not. But in robots, like, it's much more, you know, like real world, like physical, much more, you know, that you have to, I mean, how many people are going to have robots to begin with? I think it's going to be much more fragmented. Like, it also depends on how. It's the communication we mentioned before. Like, there is no good, I think, engineering solutions for a lot of practical problems on how robots are going to be in our, like, integrated in our everyday lives, in the factories and everything. Like, so until, like, all these things are, like, universally solved, there's going to be, I suppose, there's going to be a lot of, like, heuristics and a lot of, you know, case-by-case solutions. Which means that there are going to be also a lot of models because they have to cater for all these different situations. Until when there is like a model, like, or at least like a layer, like a solution that somehow solves these practical challenges. And then I think that's going to be like, yeah, that's going to be the land grabbing.
Okay. At the end, one question from your perspective, because why don't traditional robotic or robot manufacturers do not develop world models, or are we just not seeing it? Because when you Google world robotic models, you see Meta, you see Google, you see some humanoid robot producers, but you don't see robot models coming from Kuker, from ABB, from Yaskawa, you name it. Why don't robot manufacturers develop world models?
Because perhaps it's a different problem.
Okay.
You know, the traditional robotics manufacturers, they deliver outstanding world-class technology on the actual robot, the hardware, but understanding the world, so understand, like, giving the robot the capability to interact with the world, that's like a whole new challenge of its own. And I guess when you've got like a very thriving and very strong company, you have to focus on what you can do really, really well. I think like the companies that you mentioned, they're delivering top solutions in factory settings where you would assume or you expect or you dictate the world. And then, you know, modeling the world is sort of implicit. You know, you solve this problem by making sure that the world is not going to change. But the next generation of robots that are not anymore in prescriptive environments, they're not like too constrained at least. I mean, these will need a better understanding of the world, I think, one way or the other. And, you know, maybe KUKA and all the other companies, they have to do it, or they have to work with somebody.
They're losing an entire market, right? So at the end, yeah, you're only then the hardware producer, and the money is made with the world robotics models.
Yes. I mean, robotics as a technology exists since like a few decades now and has really progressed amazingly, right? Like, it's like, in a way, it's what led us here. But, you know, like, I don't think you can really take the robot that the best and the most state-of-the-art robot in Siemens or in Toyota or in Bosch or in whatever other big factory. You cannot take that one and then put it at home, right? Like, you wouldn't trust it. I think you need a different, like, even type of technology. It's not like you cannot reuse the old technology, not at least not alone. It's necessary, again, but not sufficient.
Mm-hmm. Stratis, what is on your desk for the next coming months when it comes to robotic models?
I think like my team, my lab is, we have a very interesting, let's say, position because we're one of the very few teams in the world that has collective experience in both physics, informed causality, like world models, robot learning, and so neural network deep learning and so forth. So my plan for the coming months, for the coming period, is really to double down on this, like make sure that we do have physics-informed causal models for robots and for world models. I think that's absolutely necessary. I cannot believe that we'll have a robot learning type of world, like a robot learning type of situation where we're going to have robots amongst us that they don't have explicit understanding of physics and causality. I mean, I would not trust my kids with a robot that I, you know, cannot tell me exactly what the thought process is, that possibly hallucinates, that, you know, I don't know exactly its reasoning steps. And I think, like, for most companies, this opaqueness, this lack of transparency when it comes to robots is a no-go, right? Like, because there you can have actual physical harm and you cannot, nobody can tolerate this. So that's what I plan to do. I think, like, all the other companies or all the other groups that they focus on, like, you know, putting more data and more scale, I think this is absolutely necessary. We need it. We're going to use it. Maybe we'll also do it a bit, but that's not enough. I mean, no matter how big compute, no matter how many GPUs and data you put into a robot, it will still not be able to reason in an explicit manner. And I think that's something that we can definitely deliver. We have already partly delivered, of course, in a demo sense. So that's my plan. And I find it also exciting. I find it's like a very, very, you know, like a missing piece in a way.
Stratus, thanks a lot. We keep our fingers crossed for you and your team and your approach. Thanks a lot and greetings to Amsterdam.
Thank you very much.